Amen. Thank you, Lord, for another wonderful evening with you and all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, we just ask that you lead us and guide us into what you'd have us to talk about. Anything would be fine with us, Lord, because we know that you're going to bring to our remembrance the things that you want us to talk about. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into this. Thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. Father, we just thank you for answering our prayers of faith. And I believe, Lord, that everybody here has got bold faith to believe that when they pray, they know it's going to happen. And they don't give up. They endure to the end until they see what it is they need. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for the faith that you've given us, every one of us. And thank you, Lord, for your angels round about us that help us out also. And Lord, we thank you for all the things that are happening in the world up to now. And we praise you, Father, that the enemy has been exposed to a great extent. And not only that, a lot of them have been taken care of. I know there's a lot more. But Lord, we know that you're helping us work into that area. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you bless everybody here tonight that comes in and all those that are listening. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Andrew. Cheryl, Pat, Barbara. All right. Has anybody got something they'd like to pray about? Yeah, Anna. Get to you in a minute,
Share a
Judy.
testimony and then pray. Can
I'm sorry?
I share a testimony and then pray?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, hopefully I can get through this with Michaela. She's a little fussy. So I want to share a testimony. I had this dream about my sister, and it was not good. It was, the Lord's judgment coming down on her, but it was very, to make a long story short, or a short dream shorter, the Lord as a lion jumped onto her. And I know she represents more people than just her, but he jumped onto her, and when he did, she was obliterated in a horrific scene of blood and body parts. And hang on a second. There you go. And the most horrible feeling in the dream was that I knew she had not repented, and not only that, she had no not in Not an iota of time to repent. It was instant. And when I had seen the lion coming, I said, "In the name of Jesus." And the Lord didn't even let me get a prayer out. It was, "In the name of Jesus." And boom, she was obliterated. And I know that, there's a lot more to the dream than that, but I know the Lord used my sister because she's also been in danger. And she's never been saved. She's got a lot of demons, schizophrenia type demons. And so, sometimes you call her and she's real pleasant. Other times, she'll hang up on you or whatever. And so I was just binding the spirits before I called her. And I was like, "No, thank you, Lord. She's not gonna hang up on me. She's gonna listen to me. She's gonna have an open heart, all these things." And I had such a pleasant phone call with her. I told her the whole dream. She thanked me for telling the dream. She said she's gonna take it seriously. And she dealt put up with me preaching just a little bit. I was telling her that repentance is a gift. I was just real blunt. I said, "Katie, you are always one breath away from hell, and you need to this is serious, and repentance is a gift from God, and you need to ask him for it. You don't have to strong arm yourself into being better." I said, "You need to ask the Lord." And so I do want to pray that, yes, Lord, or I've already prayed, but we can just agree that, yes, Lord, she's going to take that seriously, that she's got the fear of God, that she is going to pray that prayer, Lord, and you're going to answer it, even if it's from a un non-understanding place or whatever place she's at, Lord, that you're going to meet her there, that she will pray and ask for that repentance, Lord, and that you have given it to her. She's my household, and I claim her as elect. And I just thank you, Lord, for the good work that you're doing there. For Katie and for the testimony that I was able to have such a pleasant conversation, and I just thank you, Lord, for saving her, Lord, that this will not happen to her, Lord, and for everyone else that represents, Lord. We pray for one last call of repentance, Lord, and mercy, Lord. I knew in the dream that mercy had run out, and I know that it is about to, Lord, because your recompense is before you. But Lord, I pray that as many as could possibly be saved would be saved, Lord, and that many would even heed the warning, Lord, that you give out the warnings, and that they would repent before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to pray. If I could, and I'd like for everybody else to pray. Let's pray in this spirit after I ask the Lord to pray through us for her, the things that she needs in order to repent. Father, I ask that right now that you would pray through us in the spirit for Katie. And I praise you, Father, for allowing us to do this and that you will answer. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in her right now, because I know you're whacking away at the demon. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Katie, you come on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. As I was praying, I had a vision of this great big sword quacking at the demons. Just a huge sword quacking at the demons. That's what I saw. Thank you, Lord. So I'm just gonna believe for Katie. Amen. All right, Julie.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm believing too. Katie and all of our family members and all the people we've been praying for. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you all to pray in agreement with me. I shared this my neighbor Fred. You remember Fred's the guy who lives across the way from me. That he had a stroke here in, I think it was December. Dennis, it's December, and you guys, I shared my testimony, how the Lord allowed me to pray for him, and the Lord healed him of all the symptoms of that stroke. And I told, afterwards when he came home and stuff, all that that happened and everything, that God loved him, and I know it was, God who healed him, So, but he's still very worldly, and I offered to pray for him this last week. He texted me. I asked him for a favor to take me someplace, and he said he would. He wished he could, but he was feeling tired and kind of sickly, and had a sore throat and really bad headaches, and Tylenol wasn't working, and he's just kind of taking it easy. Well, yes, I checked. I didn't bother him yesterday, because we prayed, and then so I texted him today and just asked him how he was doing. And he told me, he goes, well, yesterday morning I went to the Express Care to start there. And he goes, someone who was acting like a doctor talked with him for a few minutes. And it got to the point where he was, they're looking at his vitals, whatever, and looked in his ear and saw that he needed to have some earwax removed. So they were going to start that. And then he started to describe his condition about having. Sore, he wrote a burning tongue and saw a sore jaw. Now, he didn't tell me about the burning tongue before. He just said he had a sore throat and headaches and really tiredness, really tired. So anyhow, she had started describing these conditions to her, and she jumped to the conclusion that I should be admitted to the emergency because of my heart. But he said no, and then she decides to cancel the ear cleaning and asked him to sign a paper so the hospital would not be responsible for letting him go. So he came home and did some research on the computer using AI. It looks like I might have some side effects from the high dose of this drug. I'm not even trying to pronounce it, but a drug that he had recently started taking. So I left a message with my doctor this morning asking him if I should reduce the amount per day. So I'm still waiting on that. And he said, so last night was another rough night. I skipped this drug this morning, waiting to hear from the doctor. I go in to get my ears cleaned out on Friday. I guess there was a lot of wax buildup for a long time. I'm really looking forward to getting the ear pass. As of right now, I feel fine, but the day's not over yet. So I just, he's a, he's worldly, like I said, and I broke off all word curses that have been spoken over him. And I also bind up all the spirits of fear and anxiety and stress and worry over his heart. He is healthy, other than having had a heart attack, like I think like 10 years ago, where he was hospitalized. So he's been on, heart medicine, blood pressure medicine, and different things that, he takes, vitamins and this and that. I don't know all the drugs he's had, but that's really his only health issue. And I know God's working. I know he's working, because I pray for that. And he's been a blessing to me. So if you all just agree with me that the doctors will reevaluate why he's even on this new drug that he's on, this cause seems to be causing this problem, and he'll take him off this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just lift up Fred to you, and I pray blessings on him, that you will give him revelation and light and draw him to Jesus. You give him a dream or something, or even just, an opportunity for me or somebody to talk about Jesus and healing, and remind him of what God, what you already did once. You can do anything. You're the God of impossible. There's nothing, no heart you cannot touch. And I just thank you that he's not going to have a bad evening tonight from anything. If he didn't take that drug this morning, just angels, just clear out all the poisons from this drug and the side effects that is left in his body. But he has a good night tonight, and he has a good night's sleep, and he's going to get that revelation tomorrow morning. It's this drug he's been taking, and he's going to, maybe if he hasn't ever talked to his doctor yet, that it's, he's already taken care of this. He's no longer going to be taking it. And I thank you for doing this for him, and doing more than I can ask for. Thank you for Fred. In Jesus' name, thank you for bringing him into the kingdom, Lord. Amen.
Maybe. Thank you, Lord. All right, Pat.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, bud.
So that dream was, I believe, was for a lot of people in the world right now, in our environment, for sure. I know, I know I was thinking of that verse in Jude. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So I'm not sure I understand exactly what that is meaning, but I know that there is going to be certain pressure of the world situation, and it will obviously get worse as time goes on. And there's going to be obviously a push for people that are going to be in panic mode, that need to be delivered and need to be snatched out of the fire. So that dream that Anna had was definitely a spot on for the situation that's coming. And so Father, I just thank you that you are giving us wisdom to speak into people's lives. You've given us the authority and the truth in Jesus to speak to the conditions in people's lives and in whatever way that you should lead us, whether we should deliver or whether we should speak into others' lives, whether we should lay hands on for healing. Lord, we our eyes are upon you. And Lord, my heart goes out to these people that are struggling, that are in bondage to their own will, to their own life. I keep thinking that people are they're getting bad counsel in their life's decisions because they're depending upon themselves to make these decisions. And ultimately, n none of us can see into the future except through the Lord Jesus opening up our eyes. So, Lord, we ask that these people that we're praying for in all of our families, Lord, that you would open up their eyes and give them a desire to recognize that this life, as they continue to pursue it, will not go anywhere. It can't, it will only lead them to failure. And there's only one option of true life, and that's in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have every ability to lead and guide people to the truth that will set them free. And Lord, we thank you that your word, that you put us on this earth, Lord, to go out and do your works in whatever way that that means, Lord, and to, through these works, reveal Christ to the world out there. And so, Lord, we ask for your strength and your wisdom and your boldness and your confidence. We ask you to baptize us, Lord, re-baptize us and fill us in, with the Holy Spirit. Strengthen us to walk in obedience to your Spirit and to be used of you to touch others' lives and bring them into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen.
It would probably be better if I unmuted, but I was sitting there talking. Yes, glory to God. Okay, anyone else? I wonder, has any of you seen that video of Brandon Biggs when he talks about the asteroid? Okay.
Yeah, I saw it.
What'd you say, Barbara?
I did see it
Okay. Yeah.
at the around the 20-minute mark or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. About 18, like 18, 40 million, something like that. Yeah.
Who
Okay.
was it, Michael?
Brandon Biggs. He had a vision of an asteroid coming over, tidal waves. I think David's going to give it out here one of these next few days, so I'm not going to say too much, but it's a warning, and it's something we could pray about. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you keep our people in safe, out of harm's way. We praise you, Father, that they will all be in agreement, that they are not under the curse. That Psalms 91 keeps them from harm. And Father, we praise you, glorify you, Lord, for doing that. And Lord, if it takes some shaking to get our people to acknowledge you, Lord, let it happen in a way that would scare them so bad that they would come to you crying on their knees, begging, Lord, humiliate and being humbled in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. There's one thing that I found out about Brandon is he's pre-tribulation. He thinks he's fixing to get raptured out of here. And Lord, we just ask for truth be told to him by you, by your angels, by your Holy Spirit. I know that sometimes you want us to search out the truth. Probably most of the time, you want us to search out the truth. A lot of times, people just go by what they hear rather than studying the Word of God to find out if that's true. And Lord, we ask for clarification for Brandon and any of the other prophets. I know that there's a lady out there, I forget her name, that also couldn't figure out why these things were.
Lena me.
Couldn't figure out why
Lena me.
their prophecies were coming against the what they call the true word of God, which is pre-tribulation rapture. It was messing them up. But Lord, you do that for a reason, so that they would search out the scriptures. And Father, we praise you and thank you for doing that. We've all come into some untruths that we heard somebody say, rather than check it out for ourselves. But you've taught us over the years to do that, to search out the scriptures to find out what the truth really is. And we've come to understand that the Word of God is our standard that we go by. And Lord, I ask that you do that for Brandon too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. All right. Anybody else got prayer requests or something they'd like to share? Yeah, Pat.
You know, one thing that kind of helped me, I guess it was a perspective change. And that was when it dawned on me, it's often, said that, you have to watch yourself because you can listen to somebody and you can be deceived. And to a certain degree, that is true. If you put your trust in men and what men have taught, then you can be deceived. But the perspective change that I realized is that it's not so much that I could be deceived. I started in deception. I was in deception already. It's not like I got deceived. I was already there. And God gave me His Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth, because I wasn't in all truth. I was sure I had truths like everybody else. There was truth that I understood, but a major amount of stuff that I had believed or accepted was error. And when I realized that it is only the Lord, it's only the Holy Spirit that has the ability to guide us out of our preconceived notions or our positions or our thinking if they're wrong. And it really puts the onus back on us to be willing to change, to be willing to listen, to be, and that's, I'm sure I'm, preaching to the choir. There's a lot of everybody here has experienced that. When before I was a Christian, one of the changing, I guess, enlightenment or whatever you call that hit me at the time is when I realized that even though I was trying not to be like my dad in the way that he was constantly working and didn't seem like he had enough time for his children, from my perspective at the time, and sensitive, I'm going to say, to my own needs. And there was this inner thing in here, inner conclusion within me saying, I'm not going to be like that. And yet, when I was 25 or 26, working at a job that I was probably working 90 hours a week, and constant trying with an inner goal of being rich before I was 25, or a millionaire before I was 25, so I wouldn't have to work like that for the rest of my life. And it dawned on me, here I am, I'm just like my dad. I'm sitting here trying not to be like him, and boom, what am I doing? I'm doing the exact same thing that my dad did. Not that I have anything against my dad, obviously, but it was just a dawning light that hit me at the time, and it kind of stunned me. And that was really, believe it or not, a thought like that, or and a an awareness that hit me, that I started looking out of myself. I started looking at other, reading other things, started looking into the Bible and that sort of thing. So, there's the Holy Spirit is not limited to what our particular condition is. He's only looking for a heart that's willing to be open to change, to be open to see, look at another source, I guess you might say, or look at for help outside of them, of ourselves. So anyway, I just it kind of it was one of those things. So I believe this the pressures that are going to be coming upon us and on the world are it is a ripe harvest field, because people are going to be, not only in panic mode, but they are going to be looking for help and assistance. And the type of assistance that is going to be the only type that will save them, obviously, is from the Lord, the Holy Spirit opening, people's eyes. And so I just, this time, though the opposition against us, against success is great, I am excited for what this time and the age that we are in, because we are going to see worldwide revival. So, praise the Lord. He's picked each and every one of us for this very day and prepared us for this time. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brandon talks about that too. He also said that in these days ahead, that the people of God are going to show signs and wonders that have never, the Lord told it, never been done before. Greater things, he said, you're going to do. Oh, my. All right, Lord, we'll just lift up just lift up all of our people. And Lord, that these things that are coming upon us, Lord, will shake the very foundations of the world out from under them, Lord. And that they will want and they will call us, all of us will be getting calls from our family members and friends wanting to know what to do. And Lord, you've already placed it in our hearts what to tell them to do is to repent and believe. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that we can give them the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they'll be able to come into the kingdom, be humbled, and walk with us as well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, that you're going to do, that you've already done in us. And Lord, all we have to do is walk into it. And I declare and decree that we've all got our eyes on you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I heard somebody talking about it today. Was it Brandon? Julie, that was talking about the sweet smell of the Lord in that video. Yeah. Well, I have experienced that in a church back in Arkansas. It was a small church. A guy was just beginning. And he was a wonderful praise and worship leader. Good music, great musician. In fact, he had a television show over here in Nashville. At one time, weekly shows. And anyway, we were praising, worshiping God, and we were all speaking in tongues and just walk. You know how Pentecostals do? They walk around and they'll praise God and speak in tongues. And all of a sudden, this sweet smell came into the church and just permeated the whole air, the whole church into that sweet smell. And I asked him, I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's the smell." He said, "That's the sweet smell of the Holy Spirit, sweet smell of God." And I'll tell you something. You know how honeysuckle smells? Shake your head, yeah, if you know how honeysuckle smells. Okay, it didn't smell like that. It smelt about 100 times more fragrant than honeysuckles. And it stayed in there that whole time that we were there. After we got through, hours later, it kind of waned out, but it still was there. And then another time, my good friend Buddy and I were up at Rogers, Arkansas, going to pray over Rogers, Arkansas, off of the cliff, and we were going to blow our shofar. And I started blowing my shofar. And we both started blowing our shofars. And this smell came up over the top of the cliff. We were up on top of the cliff. Our truck was parked on the highway, was right there. It wasn't like we hiked 10 miles up on some mountain all and we right there by the highway. Anyway, we were blowing out, and this sweet smell coming up through there. Buddy said, "What is that?" I said, "I've only smelled that one other time." I said, "That's the Holy Spirit." And it was, boy, we just basked in that for, gosh, I don't know how long. It was so awesome. The Lord was pleased with our, we were doing war against the enemy over at Rogers, Arkansas. And that's what the Lord favored us with after we got through. That was so awesome. But yeah. That kind of stuff is going to be regular, you know. Not only that, we're going to be walking around doing signs and wonders. What's the signs and wonders? Anybody tell me what the signs and wonders are? Yeah, Judy.
I believe the same things that Jesus did.
Amen. That's right. The
You
miracles
know,
that
I mean,
Jesus did.
yeah, and even greater
Even
things,
greater.
things we haven't even seen yet. Yeah, praise
Greater
God.
things. Amen. Things are going to happen. I'm telling you. Golly, I've seen it in my spirit. I've seen things like that in my spirit where people were just, they were moving mountains. And I'll just say it, mountains. They were moving mountains. It wasn't a mountain, but it was big objects that were keeping people from coming to the Lord. And they'd see it, and they see it disappear, that mountain disappear, be moved out the way. And they come running to Jesus, come running to Jesus. And not only that, everybody that believes is going to be out there, and they're going to see people hurt, going to see people kill, and you're just going to walk over there, come alive in Jesus' name. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. Now get up from there. They'll get up and the whole crowd have just come to Jesus right then. Things like that's going to happen automatically. Automatically. People with these, there's pestilence coming. There is a pestilence coming. And since we walk in divine health, we don't have to worry about that as long as your faith upholds. You walk out there just like Lake and all of his bunch did. And a the Black Plague, what they called it, but it's, I think it was a bubonic, that thing that y'all know about. But anyway, he never got, he never had whites on, he never had gloves on, he never had masks on, he never had any of the garb that they want to put on you to go out there and pull the dead out. He just went out there and started healing everybody. And moving dead people too. Golly, I can't wait. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Listen, let me tell you something. What do you think God can do with someone who has completely surrendered to Him? What do you think He can do with somebody like that? I'll tell you what He can do. Greater things than Jesus did. Yeah. How many people have we known in the past that have surrendered to self that we saw great and wonderful miracles? I can only think of a couple of people, maybe a handful of, that I've read about that I didn't know, I just read about. Does anybody have any knowledge that they've known anybody like that? That have absolutely surrendered and is moving mountains for God. Yeah. I believe that the Lord is going to use those that have surrendered to Him completely in a mighty way, mighty way. Yeah, Pat, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here rattling at the head.
No, it's all right. I think the thing, one of the things that I was thinking is, I know of the group. It's been spoken about on this meeting about the group that had to evangelize an island, and the only way to get to that island was, and I guess they didn't have boats, so they walked across the water and evangelized that island. And I think I know that translation is going to be a common avenue of travel.
Mode of transportation, yeah.
Yes, because God's going to open up our eyes to allow us to understand, number one, what that is. But it is the ability to be separated from that earthly perspective of doubt and unbelief or whatever it would be. It's that is going to be completely dead. and non-existent. I know when you're talking about a person totally surrendered, that was the if you've read anything about the Wesley, John Wesley, and the bringing in of the holiness awareness. And John Wesley believed that there was, and many of his followers that came out believed that there was what he called a second touch, or a second baptism, or something on that order, that people experienced when, and that experience in cat what was connected with a total surrender, and it was that total surrender which also included God giving them faith to believe the truth that our old man is dead, crucified. Not something that has to happen, but it has already happened. And the faith to rest in that truth, and the freedom that results from that. This was something that that the holiness teachers of the mid-1800s and whatever, and his followers pretty well explained and clarified a lot of the steps to get there, etc. But it is a it, it's they equate it to the when Moses brought the children of Israel, delivered them out of the world, and then took them across the Red Sea into the wilderness, that baptism of water and that receiving of the Holy Spirit is a picture of that initial birth and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit. And then the wilderness wandering that we all go through is a representation of that old man finally come into the place of death. And that old man dying, then there was a second, that was the baptism that took them into the wilderness. And as an end result, that old man, that old generation died. And then the new man went in. In like fashion, the Jordan River split, just like the just like the Red Sea split in the initial, the Jordan River split, and they went through on dry land to take the promised land, and it was the new man now going into the promised land, and they still had to conquer their enemies. It was still a battle. They still had to take the promised land, but now it was the new man and that was doing the battle, and the old man was dead. And many of these teachers and and writers of these things that Wesley taught regarding holiness, They called it rest. They called it the I don't know, second baptism, and there's all kinds of different things that they called it. But it was a second work in their lives. And if you read some of the books and some of the things that these authors described, they describe a condition where there is no longer that inner presence of the sin nature. It's been neutralized, it's been killed. And in that freedom, I believe, it is the 100%, 30, 60, 100-fold life that sets Jesus free in us to walk and to express his life in total freedom and zero hindrance of our life, because he has 100% cooperation in us. But anyway, and I believe that because of that, and because of the time that we're in, we have a very unique time in that we can look back on and glean the truths that the holiness people established and discovered. We can look back at Martin Luther and examine and ensure that we are resting in the truths that he discovered, and a myriad of others. John Alexander Dowie, and all the things that have been brought to the forefront. We have the ability, and the Lord is going to bring all this together in a body of, a body of believers that are dead while they're alive. And I, you know, it to me, it's exciting because it leaves absolutely nothing that is impossible with God, and it leaves us in a place of absolute cooperation with the Holy Spirit, not doubting anything. Anything is possible with God. I know that just this translation that I was mentioning, the Lord just gave me a glimpse of that, in that I believe it is going to be traveling from one awareness to another awareness in God. God's aware of everything. There isn't anywhere in any place he's not aware of. We're only aware of where we're at right now. But it takes absolutely no work, no problem at all to remove my awareness from right here and make it aware in Tanzania or wherever else. And so I think that we will be released to travel at the speed of thought, God's thought. So I just we are in exciting, unbelievable times now, and it's just I guess it's just behooves us to seek God and to do all we can do to cooperate, to move into this 100-fold gift that he has provided for us and the opportunity that is there. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, Pat, John and Charles Wesley would make all of their followers, they would have all of their followers recite scriptures that told who they are in Christ every day. Every day they, you know, they go through the things that I am alive with Christ, Ephesians 2, and they go just down the list, and they love to spend 15 minutes doing that every day. That's what made them so successful. They started confessing who they were in Christ. And then when John and Charles died, that died with the Methodist Church. It did. It just fell off. And now what do we got? We got a apostate church out there now that wants women and perverts allowed in the pulpit. So it's you're right. It's very important that we humble ourselves to the Word of God and do what it says. Very important, because when you do, you're going to help a lot of folks, multitudes of folks. Ahead, Pat.
No, I was just going to say, and that's God's grace burying those truths so that they don't get destroyed. Because, like you say, it died with Charles and John and some of those people. Some of the, a lot of it, the writings of the first generation of people after them, they speak. There were some very intelligent and, what am I trying to say? Articulate people in the way they explained these things, that came after Wesley. But yes, within a couple generations, it was gone. But that doesn't mean that God isn't going to raise those truths back up. He surely is going to do that. And today, in this day and age, the unique thing is that God's pulling his people out of this established religion of the day, and has given them a heart to seek out all truth, to cross the barriers of, Pentecostal or, Methodist or whatever. It makes no difference. The founders brought something and put something on the plate. And if we go back to the original source and ask the Lord, he will reveal those truths to us. And give us the same spirit that raised them up in that day, and I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Yeah, that's happened to a lot of these fellowships, these churches, denominations, I should say. They start out on fire for God, and then they just peter out. You know, I don't know why. Well, I do, because they don't continue on with what the founders wanted to do. All right, anyone else? Think that, does anybody in America here understand that it looks like August the 1st? People are going to be getting a, according to Trump, they're going to be very happy with a large amount of money that they're going to receive. One, it'll be the first, the second, or the third. Well, the second and the third is on a Saturday and a Sunday. So I suspect it's going to probably be in the Friday or Saturday morning, I guess. So, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for the money, the provisions to carry on and to do more than we're doing now. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, this money is to help other people. And I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. You know, that's something that the Lord has shown all of us here. Is that when you give, you'll be given to taken care of. And I'm not doing a give me someone. I don't do them. But that's what the word says. If you give, you'll give back to you. And you store up your treasures in heaven when the time comes, you need it, it'll be there. And David teaches on that quite a bit. You know what I'm saying. Hi, Debbie. There must be an awful delay in where I'm getting this out.
Hello.
Yeah,
Everyone.
okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
I'm just feeling so like in a way that overwhelming feeling of being totally surrendered. You know, just gosh, I just want that so bad. I'll see it, like when I'm really wanting it and praying, I can see it and feel it. Now, yes, I'm gonna do that. And then all these things, you know, I don't want to be taken up in them. I don't want everything that has been bothering me, like I don't know how to say it. Everything has been bothering me. The enemy's been coming against me as far as same old, everyday thing, you know, that kind of stuff. And like it, and you know, the temptation to want more excitement and that kind of a thing. It's like I just want all that gone from me. I just want that gone from me. I want to be where it doesn't matter. I want to be where I truly want to be, where I can sit in my home all day in the word and in prayer, speaking in tongues and praising in tongues. And that's just what I really want to be. And so totally surrendered would be that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And that's what I've been going through this week. And I've been trying to really give everything up to him. And I want to be that way. And when we can have a whole body like that, how
Yeah.
powerful that would be. When our whole body is, all of us, you know, are so surrendered, and we see each other surrender, and we're encouraged by each other for our surrender. And it's just amazing. And that's when the things start happening. That's when the power starts happening, right? That's just what I want. I just feel so strong in that. And I just pray God, I just want to give myself over to the Lord so that like total complete surrender will happen. And then we see in each other, you know. So just really looking forward to
Amen. Yeah. It's all by faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got this. I found this thing. It's nothing that I came up with. It's somebody else came up with. But I love it, and I've had it on my wall for quite a number of time, a long time. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. By God's grace, I want to be that man.
Amen.
The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. By God's grace, I want to be that man. We've only had one man that we know of so far that's done that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how do we surrender all to God? Go see what Jesus did. What do you do most of the time? What did Jesus do most of the time?
He
He
prayed,
prayed, didn't
spent time with his father, yeah.
I guess sometimes, yeah, getting along with the Lord.
You're right. He sought the Father, and he wanted to hear from the Father every day. How many of us have done that? I'm going to have to keep my hands there. That's surrender. That's to go in and listen. I heard Jesus earlier say, "Michael, come to me. I got some things I need to tell you." Well, this came up, this came up, this came up, this came up, and here we are. I hadn't sat down with him yet. Lord, I repent because as soon as I get through with it, I can shut it down. No, Lord, if you want me to. But anyway, yes, Lord, I don't want to make light of that because it is a very serious matter is to be alone with you at all times. To be alone with you whenever it's necessary and every day it's necessary to get that new manna from you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I like that, Cheryl. She said, "We are light. We bring life to the lost in this dark world through the Holy Spirit. Hands and feet and the mouthpieces of God, vessels in which God will use to carry out His will in these last days. Thank you, Father, for working through us. Make us dead to self and alive in you. And bring down the walls and make us one in you. May truth prevail and all the lies be cast down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God." That's a wonderful prayer. Praise God. And I agree. Yes, Lord. Bring the words that we have read in your word, Lord, to our memory as needed in the days to come. Thank you for doing that, Lord. I'm going to put that right there where I did. All right, anybody else? What about it, Andrew? I hadn't heard from you.
Well, I was going to ask a question, but then I was looking at Romans 7 and 6.
What is it? What's that verse?
Romans 7 and 6.
Okay.
It says there in the NENT, "But now we have been discharged from the law." Just
Yes.
thinking about that front part there. And then it says, "Having died wherein we were held." But there's everyone's making a new kind of law or word coming up in all these 40,000 different denominations. So, we really got to look at this, I think, and so that we are bondmen. Now, a bondman doesn't have to. He doesn't get his own way. We are bondmen in newness of spirit. Kind of reminds me of the baptism. But that's newness of life and not oldness of letter. So how many different, we're supposed to be a letter known and read of all men. So and who's responsible to do all this in us? Because I was overlooking the other baptism verse because of this newness of spirit. So I said, well, that's newness of life too, And then I was going to ask the question in the verse of Romans 6 and 4, which is the previous chapter of 7 and 6. Where it says, "We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father." Now there's the word glory. We run into that glory word a lot. It means light, and the life is the light of men. So, and then it says, Thus, we also might, I underlined might because I want that to be grace. Because it does happen. And if it happens for everyone, then it happens. You know, it's not something where he says yes and no. He doesn't change his mind about when he called you. So that we might walk in newness of life. So through the glory of the Father. Does the Father, is he alive? And just where is he supposed to be alive? You know, where did the Greek poetry in the book of Acts say he was alive? You know, and, you know, in him we live, move, and have our being. So, and if any love me, he'll keep my word. And he's teaching us all things, and he reminds us of all things. So how can we forget? We have an almighty God and Father. Are we trying too hard, or are we resting? I don't know. Are we trying to, are we getting tired because we're trying too hard? It's just, you know, there's a letter. And if it's not the Spirit, we're not supposed to walk in it. And you know, it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that we all have to have the same mind, we all have to speak the same thing, and we all have to have the same judgment. And then he goes and mentions four denominations that would have started if the Apostle Paul and his friend, who we, because they always traveled together, you know, he was with someone. I don't know if it was this person or that person, but whoever he went to Corinth with. And he said the four different divisions, you know, which would have became denominations if he wasn't there. And then there's the first chapter of Galatia, different gospel, you know. And then there's warnings to teachers, you know, in James chapter 3, let there be few teachers among. But we all have an ability to teach. But sometimes I wonder, you know, I get really scared and I just don't want to say anything anymore. But, you know, if you don't say anything, then how are people going to even think about these things? I'm just looking at this and thinking about the newness of spirit, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's a glory verse there, and a glory verse in your baptism verse, and then there's the 2 Corinthians 3:18 verse, you know, from glory to glory, even as for to have this glory, to have this life, to have the life of the to imitate your Father as beloved children, that, and to walk in love, and to have this love is very super natural to what you're supposed to, the obedience is very important, you know, and we want to sell all that we have to get the pearl of great price. But we also have to depend upon the Lord to do this through us. So that's where I'm at now. You know, how we just have to be available. And it's with everything, you know, like, if there's something he needs to take out of us, he's supposed to warn us. But then sometimes we might wonder, is that from the Lord or is it from man? I've been told so many things by man, you know, and I don't want to get confused again. So spirit of a confusion is not a good thing, because that's what I think came in, so that we couldn't have one body, one church, one, no division. You know, and it's going to take God to do it. So, and he's the only one who can do it. So, there's the other verse there, because we're talking about, you know, the spirit of the word and the letter of the word, and and how they sometimes take the spirit of the word and they try to spiritualize it, and suddenly it becomes letter, you know. So there's the verse in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Bondmen to the newness of the spirit. Yeah, and you know, if the witnessing ones are three in 1 John 5:8, you know, I just jotted some verses down here that we have to be witnessing according to spirit and water and blood, because they agree in one, and I believe all three of those in the way it's written there is spirit, because the water has to sanctify, cleanse us, and the sanctification is holiness. And we have to be holy because we're promised holiness. And he who calleth you is holy, so be therefore holy. You know, he's telling you to do that. So, and we have to have these promises. We cleanse ourselves, you know, from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, you know, we profess these things, we think about these things, and we wait on things. And we wait on things. So, and we don't want to be, I don't think we want to be constantly reminding God. Or, so I'm just a little bit stuck here on all this stuff. Just if I'm a bondman, and I'm a bondman, and in another place, we're free from sin, enslaved to God. So I'm kind of wondering if this bondman and enslavement that we're supposed to have has a lot to do with that surrender. And well, he did say we were just discharged from law, because we have to walk in the spirit. We don't walk in law. I don't know, maybe I'm confused, because I have this kind of foundation that I thought of. Everything read, everything heard, everything spoken, and especially those things that pop into your head, it has the spirit behind it, because you get information from these areas, and if it's a spirit of God, if it's good, then it's good. If it's evil, it's evil. And we want the good, you know. And if God's in control, in accordance to Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both. And the both there is really your peace, because it's you in Christ that wants to shine through into your soul to get fruit in your soul so that you can have that nice body when you finally get to heaven. For if it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And if we are his workmanship, that we can, I don't know, we need to rest. I was told our work is to rest. And of course we want to cooperate with him, because we're not our own. If we're bondmen and slaves to God in this new life, so that he can move us wherever he wants to move us in this new life, then by all means, you know, that we want this to happen. So we get inundated with all these words, you know, whether you read them or hear them or speak them yourself, or if they pop into your head. But still, you know, the Lord is the glory, and he is the Word, but we're supposed to be the name, abide in the name called the Word of God. So, and this glory is a new life, because in him was life, and this life is the light of men. So he has to move us along. You know, he began this good work in you, shall finish it in the end. Anyway, I just looking at this 7 and 6, and was he discharging us from the law of all these differences in the denominations? Because we know that it's supposed to be one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling. And we know that that one hope is written in those verses in chapter 6 of Hebrews, where God doesn't lie. And it's a firm expectation and assured expectation right in those verses where it says God doesn't lie. And that's how he defines the hope, you know. And then you got to have the faithfulness. You got to believe God, and you got to obey God. So, you know, we can't have what some people might think is right. And I think it's because they're thinking, well, this is my doctrine, you know, and I can't come against it. But, you know, if they read a verse and blaspheme it right away, then what's wrong here, you know? And it's good to be sure of oneself, but are they sure of the Lord, or are they sure of their denomination? So I have these quotes. Someone wrote them up, and I downloaded it. It's a quotes of John G. Lake. And he says, it's just good to get back to Christ. You know, I forget how the quote goes, you know, have a myriad of churchianity and all these different things, but just get back to Christ. It's almost like you do have to start on. Do the words affect you when there's no words? Like I told you the other time, I was walking through something and one guy was yelling at the other guy. And, you know, if you don't watch it, those words might affect you. Yeah, but I don't. And that they were family, those two people. And of course, we might have someone like that in our family, you know. You know, even in the cartoons, they have one in the family. You know, Simba had his brother Scar, you know, in that movie, The Bad Lion. And the good lion was, of course, it's nice for kids, you know, to watch something like that. There's a lot of, but you know, again, you know, you have all these stories that seem so close, you know, but it gives value to some children, you know. It's like, what's that story there? All the little kids read, and the Pilgrim's Progress, you know. Is there not kind of a story there in the Lion King cartoon, you know? And is there not a story there in the dream of escaping from Christendom, that other book, which is another dream, but more for our day? But I don't know who this person is, you know. I count him as a brother, but the Lord has to correct the people. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Lord's going to correct many of people. I mean, look, I was reading chapter 5 today of Acts, and you should see what happened to two of those people that interfered with the gospel. Yeah, it's written right there. That one person who thought he was someone. Boy, you know. Like, here he's got him and I think 400 other people. The leader was killed. They tried it twice, apparently. And the others, well, God had mercy on them. He just scattered them all. And it sort of makes you think twice how much God will protect us. You know, it's in there. You know, it's right after what's chapter 5 there. Yeah, it's in 5. 37, after this man rose up Judas the Galilean in the days of the enrollment and drew away a number of people after him, he also perished. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered abroad. And this is the advice of a lawman, because they have the apostle in prison. And they wanted to do something to poor old Peter there, but God protected him. And there was two he reminded them of. I guess they went after the Christians too. Somebody anyway. I don't know if it was Peter or some other apostle. So that could be something. You know, where you know, those people were protected from these people. That's something I believe we even have witnessed here with us when they tried to threaten. I'm just a little guy sometimes when I think about all the, you know, I'm tall. If I was in the room where you were, I'm 6'4", and I'm pretty big and round too, you know. I like my pizza, but I sometimes feel like a real little guy, you know, and the immensity of God and his power and how he's supposed to dwell in us and walk, you know, like come on, man. That's a lot, you know. And he's over all, in all, and through all, and after the seven ones. I'm scared. I should be scared. You know, I'm scared, but excited and wondering about the one I could call Father, because he said I can. Because of his son, Jesus Christ. That's why I can call him Father. And he's just an almighty, powerful God, creator of all things seen and unseen. Creating a maker of all the principalities, too, because he controls everything if he's sovereign. Now, that's someone you want to get on the good side with. So, I don't know. Then you start thinking, man, am I like that guy who was kind of leery, you know? And he Gideon, am I having a Gideon event here and thinking about the Lord and saying, Lord, you can't use me. You have to use someone big, you know? And then he took the guys away from him. You know, like he had the whole army of Israel. Oh, no, sorry, Gideon. I'm only sending you in with a few of these people because, you know, these guys are going to want to take the credit for it. And didn't they know God was suffering? Didn't Gideon know that? He must have known something because he knew something. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sorry if I'm just thinking aloud here, but I hope it helps someone. I sure need help myself. The Lord has to help us, you know. And he said he would, you know. He said he would help us, you know. You can't be discouraged. Don't get discouraged. I'll get in trouble if I'm discouraged. I don't want to be in trouble. You know, we got him. I told you, he was an almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and all things. He's your new creator. You are in a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I want people to be encouraged. I want to see these things happen. I want to be on God's side, of course. And yeah, so is this bondman is not a bad place to be in newness of spirit. It's really a good place to be. But if you're going to start filling people's heads with all the other stuff, so you can be that guy or this guy or that guy or this, then I want Jesus. That's all I want. I want to be like my big brother Jesus, my father figure Jesus, my friend. He tells us to obey him and be his friend. Right in that verse, 1038. I don't know if it's 1038. Don't know the address of these words, but he told you, you know, you got to love him more than father and mother and brother and sister. And that love's a friendship love. So, you know, we are agape'd to obey to be his friend. I mean, isn't that him asking you to be your friend? You know, I just think I'm stupid sometimes. All he does is he wants to take you fishing. So, and so that we can make, we can be used to make more brothers and sisters. I just know God's going to do it. He's going to do everything. If you have something that's aching you, you know, you got to have this newness of spirit. We're waiting for things. And this newness of spirit means you get a lot of authority. And what, you know, it makes you kind of think, doesn't it? You know, I don't want to discourage anyone. You know, and a bondman has to be led by his master. A bond, you know, a son has to listen to his father. And on occasion, you even have to listen to the one who saved you. He died for you. He gave you his life to live by. He purchased you with it. But you got to listen to someone who did that for you. You know, you got to obey him. You got to believe him too. Believe. You know, there's the 7:25 of Hebrews, you know. He can save you to the uttermost, them that draw nigh unto God through him. And that's who you do it through. But you know, there's that tempter, oh, you can't do that. Forget about him, man. He's just a blah, like someone said once, blah, 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 blah. You know, that he keeps saying that to you. Anyway, I'm going to stop. Talking about praise and glory to God.
Amen. Okay, Pat, we got a song after you get through. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Not.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Andrew triggered something in there as I was thinking there. We started off on that. And I had this thought, is that to a certain degree, you know, when it says in the scripture here that having died, to quoting Andrew's scripture here that he brought up in Romans 7:6, having died to the law, to that wherein we were held, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And then in Romans 6:4, he says, we were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. And I know that the Lord kind of showed me that might is there, not because God hasn't already done it, but there is a level of participation that is required of us to cooperate with that, to see that newness of life manifested within us. But anyway, and the thought that I had was, you know, sometimes these scriptures, speaking of life and death, tend to, you know, put us kind of in the perspective of, okay, so if I could just die, then, you know, if I could just get this death thing done, then I could be walking in total, you know, life, absolute life, resurrection life. And of course, dying is something that none of us have participated in, none of us have experienced it. So to a certain degree, we're kind of, you know, tapping like the blind man, you know, what exactly, you know, how will I know when I'm dead, and you know what, you know, if I'm alive at the time I'm dead, you know, how's this going to happen, how do I accomplish this? Yet and so in these verses, especially the one in Romans 6:4, it's an interesting scenario there where he says that Like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might also walk in newness of life. So like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And what is that glory? Jesus explained, and so I stopped there for hesitation. So this concept of, you know, how do we die? You know, how do I die in order that I might live? But in Paul had a kind, I think he kind of alluded to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2, where he said, "For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven." And I think if you read, I didn't go over there, but if you read that, I think it's starting not to be unclothed, or not to be dead, but to be clothed with this life. Jesus explained in talking about that glory, that same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. In John 17:4, he said in his prayer to the Father, he said, "I've glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested my name, thy name, unto the men whom thou gavest me." I think the point that I was thinking about was, I glorified thee, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me. And it is becoming, I think, clear to me that in the accomplishing of that work of the Father within me, that which I know the Lord is leading me into, to whether it be speaking out in the name of the Lord, walking in the truths of deliverance, healing, speaking forth the word into others' lives, etc. That work is connected with the glory of God, that glory, and that glory is instrumental in the raising up of that resurrection life within us. And I'm spitballing here, by the way. This is just something that kind of hit me as Andrew was talking. But in Colossians 1:27, which Andrew brought up again, I appreciate that. Thanks, Andrew. "To whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The hope of manifesting Father's works through us in that resurrection life, which that glory raised up out of the grave, "whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man," what? "Perfect complete, whole, sanctified, complete, hundredfold. That's what that says to me. Complete every man, to present every man perfect or complete or 100-fold. All from what? The Christ in you, that hope of glory, that resurrection life of the Father, his work being manifested in us. And I think that is foundationally connected with our specific obedience of speaking forth in agreement with his word, and in so doing, putting to death that old man in the same with the same sword. So anyway, it was just kind of hitting me as Andrew was speaking there about what that glory is, and possibly, I guess, the need for me to focus on the work of the Father and allow him to take care of the death portion of it, which he has already done on the cross. Praise the Lord. So that's all I had.
Okay. All right, Judy. We got a song to share here. Don't make me pass a lot of time.
I hear you calling, calling my name. I am longing for your presence again. I come with nothing, I lay at your feet. You are waiting, waiting for me. Show me the to your heart, show me the way to your heart. I hear you calling, calling my
me the way to your heart.
as I draw near. I come with nothing, I lay at your feet, you are waiting.
Can you wait and talk, Sly? Almighty God. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to say?
I do.
All right, Debbie.
I was just following Andrew in this verse in chapter 3, you know, at 6 and 7 there, and I just look over to the left page, that column right next to the page he was on, and I notice a verse. Len read on, I read on verse 14 and 15, you talked about smelling a fragrance. So this is all about, you know, how we're an aroma and we are a fragrance of Christ. But that's all because he's the fragrance. Anyway, what I'm getting at is this, the Lord gave me a song when after, well, this was many years ago, I was sitting in my dining room, just really praying, crying to the Lord because of trouble with one of my children. I don't remember which one it was right now, but it was so long ago, and I was just all torn up, and I was just praying and crying to God, and all of a sudden, I was just sitting there, and I had this fragrance. I smelled this fragrance, and a breeze or like a breath across my face. It was so real. It was just so, it was amazing, and then so the Lord gave me a song to that. And I wanted to sing it if I can. You don't mind?
Sure.
Okay. I think I shared this at a meeting somewhere at some other time, but it's been a while. But this is a song that I just got pretty quick. I just sat there and put the song together. The Lord just gave it to me. So, okay. How I love you. How I love your presence, Lord. How I love your breath on my face. How I love your presence, Lord. How I long for your sweet embrace. I can smell your fragrance in the air. I feel your glory every place. How I love your presence. How I love your presence, Lord. How I love your breath on my face. How I love your presence, Lord. How I long for your sweet embrace. I can smell your fragrance in the air. I feel your glory every place. How I love your presence. I can smell your fragrance in the air. I feel your glory every place. How I love your presence. How I love your presence. How I love fragrance, sorry, not presence. Your presence. Yes, there's presence right there. But anyway, that's it. Looked up on a word, sorry. Thank you,
Ryan. You're so. If I knew how to do that, I'd do it. All right. I was just making a comment about if I knew how to do that, I'd do it. I think I do. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Judy, go ahead. Debbie, you need to wait.
Sorry.
We need to
That's okay.
pray about an earthquake.
Pray about what?
An earthquake.
Okay. Tell us about it.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I can tell you what my stats say. This was off the coast of Russia, the northern Pacific, northwest Pacific. It happened about 4:24 my time, the 7:24 your time on the East Coast. It was an 8.7 on the Richter scale, 11 miles deep, and it's off the coast of Russia, like I said. The last 2 weeks or so, that same area has had a multiple earthquakes, and the fours, five, sixes, and I think a few sevens and stuff. So this one was pretty big. There's been some other ones since then in the same area about Bayhan. We just need to pray about there. There is a tsunami warning issued as well, last time I saw it. And if you're familiar with Dutch Sense, the earthquake guy who predicts earthquakes and stuff, like, he had a, I don't know if it's still live now, but he had a live stream premiere about this earthquake. But we just need to pray about that, because there's a tsunami warning. That's a pretty big earthquake. That's almost an eight, or almost a nine, 8.7. That's huge. Michael, you want to pray about this?
Yeah, I could play. That's a pretty big one. How deep was it, did you say?
It says 11 miles deep.
Oh, okay.
It's not deep, 11 miles, really.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just ask and we pray that the powers that be over there would get the people up on higher ground that need to be up on higher ground. And Lord, we thank you that they'll take care of their people, keep them from harm's way. I don't know how much time they got, but Lord, that sounded like a big quake to me. And I ask and I pray, Father, that all of your elect would get out of there in Jesus' name. And not only that, Lord, that you would save those elect that are yours, Lord, and wake them up. And I praise you for doing that, Lord, this quake in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that considered part of the ring of fire? Is it? Well, Lord, we know that we're going to have quakes. So your word says it. You want to cleanse the house, your house first, and this may be one of the ways that you did. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you would place it in everyone's heart to pray for their brothers and sisters. And not only that, Lord, to pray for the lost ones also, that you would bring them in, grant repentance to them, bring them in before they die, before it's too late. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And I'm praying this, Lord, for everybody in the world, because I know you're going to cleanse your 140 something denominations out of that garbage, and they're all going to be one denomination. That's in Christ. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe that's what there was a prophetic word, if I'm not mistaken, years ago, about that the Lord was he was not pleased with the denominational churches and the names they've given themselves. That all the churches should be in Christ. That's what he wants to be in Christ. And the only way to be in Christ is in the Word, isn't it? It's in the Word. It has to be in the Word in order for it to be in Christ. The Word is Christ. Christ is the Word. That's what he said. And he wants us in the rest. I'm going to mention the rest too. And in Isaiah 28:17, it talks about getting in the rest. You know how? Speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit and that rest will come upon you. If you get anxious, you get fearful, do any of that kind of stuff, pray in the Spirit. And the Lord will settle you down. That's what the Word said. The Word says it is true. I believe it. All right, anyone else? We still got 1, 2, 3 minutes. 8.8. Okay. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just was looking at that because there was another, aftershocks or whatever. There's more earthquakes there. So I just noticed it went up. They upgraded. They usually downgrade earthquakes. This one went up a point. I thought that was kind of interesting. 8.8. Well, thank you, Lord, for taking care of all this. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. They must be telling us the truth then, because they always want to downplay it. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place it in all of our hearts to want to be completely surrendered to you. We know that you'll do all the work. All we have to do is to have faith to believe this happening. Thank you, Father, for doing that in all of us. We want to be able to help mankind when the time comes in a mighty way, not just some kind of an idea, but we want to see mighty miracles to bring a whole town to Jesus. Like the two little Chinese girls that went in town and took away the one trouble they had. Lord, we thank you that you're going to do that with all of us as well. Lord, I ask that you bless David too. He's he stays up a lot, doesn't get a whole lot of sleep. I just ask that you supernaturally rejuvenate him and give him lots of energy. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, we're about out of time here. Anybody got anything else before we leave? All right, y'all be blessed.